Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If the New York Yankees win a baseball game tonight, they will be a first-place team, despite the fact that 35,000 different Yankees have been placed on the injured list. So that's what's on the line tonight on a beautiful night at Yankee Stadium. We get you set for it with this Yankee Report with Sweeney Murdy. It's brought to you by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need, and by your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealers. Visit MBUSA.com. Sweeney, how are you?
Wonderful, guys. How are you?
Doing all right.
Sweeney, we've had a great week for the sports teams. It's been an outstanding week.
You ever dreamed of, right?
It's been right up there. The Jets, the Mets, you know the deal.
This is just a week in the life, a day in the life, right?
Exactly right. I read the news today. Oh, boy. You know, Sweeney.
You know, there's so many amazing things about what the Yankees have accomplished so far. Obviously, they win tonight. They're in first place. The one that, I don't know, maybe this is the geek in me that finds this fascinating, considering all the injuries that they've had, that they have only had the same lineup run out there twice all season long. So they have played 42 games. And they have had 41 different lineups. That, I don't know if there's a record for that.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. Somebody could probably look it up in the last 100 years. I'm sure, you know, that could happen. But just off the top of our heads, that's kind of insane that Aaron Boone's had 41 different lineups in 42 different games.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of it's just out of necessity with the injuries. But I think, you know, if it was 31 different lineups, I'm sure we'd have a segment of fans saying, "What's he doing? He doesn't put this guy in, put that guy in." You know, there's methods to the madness when you're moving guys around and trying to put guys in the right position and trying to take advantage of your platoon advantages with your bench guys, making sure they get the best opportunity. But it's mostly been about guys getting hurt because they got hurt in waves that force you to do different things, and you're still without Stanton and Judge with no real idea yet of when these guys are coming back. So you're trying to make do the best you can. I think what's gotten overlooked is that we talk about lineups. They've pitched really well. They've pitched incredibly well. And even with some of the early hiccups in the bullpen, some of those guys are starting to line themselves upright and getting Chad Green back, you know, and one appearance, but getting him back looking something like he's supposed to look like is a big plus too.
You know, I think that's the thing that really has flown under the radar with the Yankees, Sweeney, how good they've pitched. You mentioned the bullpen, of course, but especially the starters. I mean, nobody saw what you're getting from Domingo Germán, you know, coming into this season. I mean, we could start with that. I mean, yeah, I think that's been one of the biggest keys that's kind of flown under the radar.
I don't think, Joe, that even a healthy Luis Severino would be pitching equivalent to what Germán has been doing. You know, even as your healthy number one guy, could you expect him to be 8-1 with a 2.5 ERA right now? So obviously, you know, there's a little bit of luck involved there too, but Germán is taking advantage and pitching really well. They've had everything kind of work out right for them in terms of, you know, lining up certain bullpen days and, you know, not getting killed too much with any of the starts with Sabathia or Tanaka or anybody else. You know, they've been pretty stable in that rotation and they've pitched pretty well. And, you know, they might get Paxton back as soon as this weekend. So, we'll see, you know, how much longer. When you think about whether they can keep this up or not, that's a legitimate question for the lineup. But I think the pitchers are the guys that, you know, you kind of expect, okay, this is something that can be sustainable for a longer period of time.
Yeah, this is sort of a compliment to the Yankee rotation. It's also a criticism of them. Jay Happ is your least reliable starting pitcher right now, which is odd.
Yeah.
Because of how good he was after the trade last year. So it's negative about the way he's pitched this year, and I think Aaron Boone showed that by how quickly he pulled him, which I was in favor of. I thought it was a great move because I'm watching the game. I don't think Jay Happ was pitching all that well. I don't care what his pitch count was. But he's
I don't think it was indicative of all year long. I think you look at the idea that the next two batters he was going to face were the guys who hit home runs off of him.
Right.
And you've had 2 days without games. Everybody in your bullpen is available and ready to go. And, yeah, you got a second game, but you got a chance to nail this one down before letting the guy who's giving up home runs, give up more home runs.
What I loved about what Boone did on Wednesday is, you're right, you laid it out. He's about to face guys he's giving up home runs to. He was not great in this game. Who cares if his pitch count is 65? It doesn't matter if it's 45. If the guy is not, if you don't trust him to get guys out at that part of the game and you have a good bullpen, don't leave him in because his pitch count is low. That's as foolish as taking someone out because their pitch count is high. But I loved how he let Domingo Germán pitch through that trouble in the seventh inning because, I don't know, I feel like earlier in this season, Boone would have taken him out, but instead he let him work his way through that bases loaded jam.
And that's something that if you had Ottavino, Ottavino's the one guy, because he pitched parts of two innings and got up and down, he was the guy that wasn't going to be available for the second game of the doubleheader. But that's the guy that I think you would have probably brought in that situation. But yeah, Germán, I think had shown the ability, especially with those guys hadn't hurt him either. It's, again, you go back to game one, the guys who were coming up to face Hap had hurt him the last time up. And Germán, I think, was just able to navigate that part. And with a, just with the circumstances playing out the way they were with having the game before. So, yeah, you got to pick and choose. And it worked out for Aaron Boone because, the guys who relieved Hap didn't give up home runs and Germán didn't give up runs. So the players performed in those situations and ends up looking good. Everything kind of lines up, but it could have very easily, just by chance, gone the other way.
How about somebody, I know Hicks obviously is back, and obviously Andujar is done for the year. I guess he's going to get the surgery now when all is said and done. It was interesting. We were talking about this the other day when Boone, they asked Boone after the game, I guess it was after the doubleheader against the Orioles, about Stanton and where he was, and Boone kind of probably didn't seem like he really didn't know what was going on with Stanton.
Yeah.
Where is he? I mean, because you don't hear anything about him.
Yeah, it wasn't a great look to not have a great answer for that. And then they later called it a shoulder strain. I
mean,
he's been hitting and taking swings, but we haven't watched him. He's not in rehab games, and nobody's saying that he's close to returning. So, but he hasn't been shut down. So I guess he's still in line to get back sometime soon if they decide they want to put him in games instead of just giving him all these swings. The problem is also that whatever happened with the shoulder happened while he was rehabbing for the bicep. So it's not like we saw an injury happen, out on the field that took him out. He was first, out with the bicep, and now he's, he's been out a month and a half almost now.
Right. Right.
I guess the idea that they haven't shut him down tells you that, okay, he's still in line to return sometime soon. He's doing more than Aaron Judge, that's for sure. Judge is still battling, the shutdown part of the oblique injury where they haven't really let him swing yet. So I don't have a great answer for you because they're not really providing a lot more than that, and it's kind of frustrating for everybody.
Yeah, they're being very,
very
secretive about it.
Yeah, and very clandestine.
And this is something I've noticed in sports a lot over the last few years where teams are starting to do that, where they just say, we're not telling you anything. We're not going to give you an update. When he's back, he's back. It frustrated me. The Brooklyn Nets did that a lot this year. They just said, the guy's hurt. We'll let you know. And then out of nowhere, the guy showed up, and you're like, wow, this is exciting. I know the Nationals, they mentioned it on the broadcast yesterday. Nationals don't give any injury updates in the middle of a game. They won't tell you why a guy left. So it seems like the Yankees are, I don't know if they're following along or they're continuing this new thing of, we're just not really going to give you that many details about injuries.
I don't think that's a really smart play to tell, to keep the information from your fans and not tell them anything. I think what they're kind of doing here, I don't think it's a blanket policy here. I just think that they've gotten some injuries here that are kind of hard to pin down the time frame.
So they're not
trying to give you one. So they appear to be wrong when that time frame isn't met. They ran into a situation last year with Aaron Judge where they got overly optimistic on the timeline.
Right.
And it's not that somebody screwed up. It's just that, it took longer to heal and that was it. And I think what they're trying to do here is trying to avoid those types of situations. And you end up, I thought about this the other day. I said, we get so mad at the team's doctors and medical staff when they say, oh, he's supposed to be back here. He's not back there. Think about how many times you've gone to the doctor. Do they nail it the first time? Do they get everything right the first time that you go? Sometimes you have to go to a couple of different places before you figure out exactly what happened. And sometimes it takes you longer to get over different things. It's, Brian Cashman is fond of saying that it's an inexact science, which I find kind of funny because it's a science, it's medicine. But I think what they're trying to do is just avoid saying, bam, he'll be back in 4 weeks. And then when he's in three and a half weeks, when he hasn't picked up a bat yet,
we're
all questioning, what did you do wrong? What happened? What else went wrong? So I think they're letting the information come out in dribs and drabs so that they're not pinned to a timeline and being held to that standard.
If Pat, because you mentioned earlier James Paxton may come back Sunday, because right now Sunday's this weird open day.
They're TBA, and he's doing a bullpen today. So I can't rule out the fact that he could, you know, if the bullpen goes well today, that maybe he's a, you know, he's a four-inning starter for them on Sunday. I can't rule that out.
No, absolutely. And I think that'd be great for the Yankees because their other option is whom? I mean, would it be a bullpen day if it's not James Paxton?
I think they've got, you know, like they've got Sesso. They, you know, maybe get three innings out of him. They've got Chance Adams and Cortez here still. They've got a whole bunch of arms here who can go multiple innings.
So, yeah, it's a bullpen day. Right. I guess either way it's a bullpen day, though, Swing, because if James Paxton can only go four innings, it's essentially the same thing.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Remember the game that he got hurt, you know, they ended up was it the game he got hurt or somebody else? They ended up running out all their guys out of the bullpen. And I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We were set up for that. It was fine. So,
well, they also have a loaded bullpen. I mean, the Yankee bullpen is ridiculous. And if Chad Green is back, and I don't know if he's back, we'll see how he pitches when he gets more opportunities. If Chad Green is halfway capable, I mean, you go to a bullpen every day. They're so loaded. And Dellin Betances comes back. It's almost unfair. Look around baseball. Every bullpen in baseball, and every is an overstatement, so I'll say most bullpens in baseballs, are dumpster fires. Mm. They're awful. They're hot garbage. And then the Yankees go six deep. It's crazy how deep they are compared to everybody else.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Chad Green is going to be interesting because I think, what you saw from him 2 years ago when he was at his best, maybe that was just the best he's going to be, but he was also pitching, you know, two innings at a time. They opted for more appearances and shorter outings last year, and he was good, but not as good. And then hit a little bump. I think what the Yankees really want to try is to get Green back to the multi-inning outing, getting the pitch 2 to 3 innings, perhaps, maybe in the same. Probably not the same rest period as a starter, but you know, you need those maybe 3 or 4 days in between sometimes, depending on how far he goes. And I think they were trying to do that before he got hurt, but the problem was before he went down. The problem was that he was throwing like 28 pitches in an inning, and they said, "All right, you got to get out of here." He wasn't getting the outs necessary to keep going for 2 or 3 innings. So if he's efficient enough to get through these guys and get through a lineup once. I think that's a different kind of weapon that they had 2 years ago that they had been kind of searching for. And maybe that's his best role. If he can pitch every 3 or 4 days and give the Yankees multiple innings.
Sweet. How about DD? I mean, I got to think he's not too far away, right?
What's today? The 17th?
Yes, 17.
He's supposed to start extended spring training games next Tuesday, I think is the date they first laid out. So that's a way of getting, you know, just getting reps and more bats without being an official.
So from there, what do you figure? 2 weeks after that?
Oh, no. I think you've got much more than that. I mean, the guy hasn't played, you know?
Right.
I mean, so you're talking about just getting game action for the first time. I mean, I think you're at least a month away at that point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see how he responds. Remember, it's not like he's playing every day over that period either.
Right.
You're probably going to get him a few innings in the field. Build him back up slowly. I would be surprised if it's anything less than a month.
Any concern long-term about Andujar? I mean, if he has this surgery, which it seems like he's going to have it, and he's going to miss the entire season, does he come back as a third baseman, and is there concern about what he is when he comes back next year?
Yeah, I think, you know, just because his body of work is 1 year as opposed to a guy who's been in the league for 6 or 7 years, I think you have to wonder about that. But, you know, he's getting it surgically repaired. You know, it's going to be fixed. Then there's a rehab protocol after that. So, you know, you just build him back up. And I think the idea is, okay, you fix it and then it's good. You know, like a pitcher having surgery, you fix it. And then for the most, you know, you got to think that you can still pitch. And I know there's, you know, lots of variables in that. I think the idea is that, you know, you're getting back a good player again. And who is he? I don't know, but I think what you're looking at is, let's just say he's ready for the start of next season. I think you have to look at it as the same idea the Yankees took with, let's say, Didi, where, okay, you need somebody else to man that position, at least to start the year and feel comfortable with somebody starting that year. Now, the Yankees ended up with Tulowitzki, who got hurt after a couple of games. But, I mean, you understand the idea of you're not counting on him to be your opening day third baseman, let's say, because he's coming off a pretty significant injury. So if he's ready by that time, great. But I would think you'd need something more secure by the time you're starting next season.
And Sweeney, the manager, who, you know, I know a lot of Yankee fans weren't crazy about him, you know, last year coming into the season. You got to give him some credit here for this team being 10 games over 500 at this point, don't you?
I think the players and the coaches all kind of echo the same thing about Boone. And, you know, it's not easy to get a lot of new people come through the doors during the season, walk in and say, okay, here you go. Today you're playing third base. You're playing left field for the New York Yankees. And for a lot of guys who don't have a lot of major league experience either. So there is something to getting those guys ready and comfortable in those situations that, you know, the people throughout the organization say, you know, it's an organizational thing, but they all will give Aaron Boone a lot of credit for what he calls the culture, the clubhouse culture, and just getting guys comfortable. And there's a lot of people that take roles in that, you know. It's, you know, whether it's CeCe Sabathia and Brett Gardner and in the clubhouse with the players and setting kind of an easygoing tone, or even Aaron Judge, who's, even while he's out, he's kind of active, involved in that kind of thing. It's the scouting staff. It's the coaching staff, the analytics department, you know, getting people ready and put them in positions to succeed. That's what these guys all want to do. You know, you're there to make the players better. And the guys talk about, you know, forget about the X's and O's part. They talk about the idea of setting a tone and setting a culture, and Boone does that. He did it last year. He's doing it this year, and it's harder to do this year with all the new faces. But I think that's what, you know, that's what they're kind of hanging their hat on here and saying that it's a tone that's set every day, and it's not getting too far ahead of yourself. And that's, you know, that's a big plus on the manager's side from what everybody's saying.
And they may be a first-place team by the end of the night.
You would think so.
We'll see.
By the end of the weekend, anyway.
Certainly. Sweeney, thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys.
See you, Sweeney.
Sweeney Murdy. His port report was also brought to you by Wallauer Paint and Design, Benjamin Moore's largest paint dealer in Westchester, Putnam, and Rockland County.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.